We'd like, if you would, to turn to the Gospel according to St. Mark. Out of the 13th chapter, I'll read verses 32 through 37. The Bible reads, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." The basis of our thinking coming from the 33rd verse. "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Supporting scripture, John 9:4. The Bible declares, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. If you're watching, you can see that you don't have time to waste. If you're watching, you can see that you don't have time to waste. Our thought this morning, if you're watching, you can see that we don't have time to waste. Watching. We don't have a problem watching. But most of the time, we watch the wrong things. Those of us that have eyes and we can see, you ought to be ever so grateful and thankful to God that you can see. There's somebody that was born blind, never seen a blue sky, never saw the colors and how beautiful they are and how they can just mix together. There's somebody that was able to see, and for whatever reason in life, they lost their eyesight. Now, if you were to ask yourself the question, which would be worse? Would it be better to never have seen anything at all? Or would it be worse to have seen and lose your sight? And then be told that you're never going to see again. My first question would be, who told you that you're never going to see again? Because I serve a God that is able to restore sight. And it doesn't matter whether it came late in life or whether you were born like that. If God decides to do so, God can take your blinded eyes and open them wide up. There are those of us in here now, we have our eyes wide open and we are looking, but we cannot see. Anybody ever heard the term the blind leading the blind? I'd hate for you to try to cross the street knowing that you're blind and somebody blind is trying to lead you along the way. We got a whole lot of blind folk trying to tell people that can see how to see. But you better be careful who eyes you are looking through. It is only by God's grace and mercy that he's allowed us another opportunity on this fourth Sunday, the last Sunday of Black History Month. And even though we celebrate our heritage every day of our lives, I don't know about you, but I'm black more than 28 days a year. And every one of those days, I acknowledge who I am. But I realize that God has blessed us. This month, not only blacks and African Americans, but all nationalities, most nationalities, share in the celebration, or either they hear about the accomplishments and the contributions that our people made to make this world what it is today. We are thankful to the great American historian Carter G. Woodson, who established at that time Black History Week in February the 12th, 1926. Now we celebrate the whole month, and look how fast a month go by. History is very important. A past that is known and sometimes recorded. The study of past events in human culture. As we fulfill our destinies in life, we wonder what the pages of history will read concerning us. All of your yesterdays are considered your history. And every one of us, as we live out our history, I wonder what type of legacy will we leave? Will we leave any contributions? Will we do or be willing to do anything that will help this world to be a better place? It's amazing how we casually allow weeks and months and even years to go by with no contact whatsoever with some of the people that we say we love. And if we love people the way that we say we love them, I wonder why do we allow walls of despair, walls of hate and anger to get between us and our relationships? I don't know about you, but I'm finding it to be a true fact that it's just not a myth that as you get older, the body changes. I'm still a young man yet, and I'm already experiencing that the body does make some changes. There are some people in here older than I am that could declare that there comes a time in your life when your body gets a mind of its own. You think one way, but your body telling you you're going to do something else. And I don't care how much you ponder on it. I don't care how many vitamins you take. I don't care what kind of medication you on. There are some things you just not going to be able to do today like you did yesterday. There's somebody in here this morning that can say, when I look back over my life, we got some folk in here that would like to say, I wish I would, I should have, I could have, but you better do what you can while you can. I believe that we take our time for granted. We act like God owes us something. It has been said that every man, every woman got to work out his own soul salvation. And as we work out our soul salvation, we're going to run into some stumbling blocks along the way. It's true this morning that all time belongs to God. But it's also true that we all have been allotted a certain amount of time. We had a certain amount of time that we're going to live upon this earth. And in this time that we are here, we need to be making preparations for a tomorrow. We got to understand that we are not here to stay. This world, somebody said, is not my home. We got to understand that in order for us to be ready when God comes on that great day. And I do believe that the word of God is true, that there's going to come a day when the Son of Man shall appear. And the Bible teaches us that we should be watching, waiting, and working. Which of the W's are you doing? I know we got some watchers, but are you watching the right thing? I know we got some waiters. But who are you waiting on? And God knows we don't have many workers. That's why I say that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Look at all these folk, but all of you not willing to work. Every one of you come to the house of God this morning.
But did you come to give God praise and to get a blessing? Or did you come just to be able to tell somebody tomorrow, yeah, I made it to church Sunday? Some of us like to be able to make a good report that I went. But did you get anything after you got there? I might want to know, John, did you bring anything in here? I believe that God will appreciate every now and again if we come to his house on Sunday morning, not all burdened down, not all full of hell and despair, but just come in ready to lift up the name of Jesus. We ought to come in sometime already pumped up. Then there are some folk that say it does not take all of that. But you sit there with your proper self and do what you got to do. Never allow others to tell you what it takes for you to work out your own soul salvation. The Bible declares that there's a time and a season and a purpose under the heaven for all things. And I come to tell you this morning that many of us are wasting valuable time. King Solomon said there's a time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and then there's a time to build things back up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Some of us so serious, we don't never laugh. I never seen Jesus say we couldn't have no joy. Some of us so holy and sanctified, we don't know what a smile look like no more. I wonder why you met when you met Jesus, what happened to your joy? How you gonna draw anybody to Jesus the way you looking? Come the time that you got to let the devil know I'm going through hell, but I'm going to smile anyway. Anybody in here got a mind to just not let no be the final say so? If the enemy say no, God say it's time that you get a yes spirit in your life. Or the doctor may say no, but my God say yes, 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 yes. Sometimes in life, you get sad and you mourn. But every now and again, oh, let me get back to these holy sanctified folk. The Bible says, and a time to dance. We done lost our mind. Let somebody get up and try to dance. Oh, the so-called saints will run them down to hell already. Everything is printed here for us to know and understand. And we get so intelligent that we just twist things to work out for us. Because you got arthritis now and you can't boogie no more. It's not good for nobody else to boogie. It didn't say shout. It said dance. Trying to help some of them folk that already know everything. Solomon said, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent. Oh, Jesus. And a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I come to tell you this morning that time is very valuable and we need to stop wasting precious time. You need to get an understanding that time does not belong to you. Time belongs to God. God has established the patterns of life in all of our labors, and he is the one in control. We got to learn to fear God, and that, the Bible declares, is the beginning of wisdom. Time is a measurable period during which an action or condition exists or continues. Time proceeds from the past through to the present. The Hebrew people counted units of time in hours, days, weeks, months, and years. I like what King Solomon says here in 2 and 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was he, the hand of God. Then he summed it up. I went through life and I experienced and I tried a whole lot of things. But King Solomon said, out of all the things that I experienced in life, out of all the things that I saw, I just want you to know that all life is vanity. And then he said, but let me tell you something. Let me give you the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So if you got sense enough to fear God and let God be your leader and your God, then God is going to work everything out all right. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then my Bible says that God will add everything else that you need unto you. But we got to understand that we got to stop being all harsh and negative and got to stop just listening to any and everybody. The Bible declared that there are false preachers and teachers. And you got to know what is right and try the Spirit by the Spirit. We talk about watching. When we look at the news, everything we hear is negative. If it's not killing, it's robbing. If it's not stealing, it's raping. No good news ever to be found. The economy is still going to the plumps. We're still wondering about what we're going to do about this and what we're going to do about that. There are some folk been out of shape about how high the gas went from one week to another. But ain't no need of us fussing, cussing, and crying. Because if you want that car to move, you're going to have to buy some gas. And the only way you're going to get that gas is pull up to the pump. And you got to have some money in your pocket and get the gas that you need. What you got to learn is how to sit down sometime and stop running around when you don't really have nowhere to go. You got to learn how to help yourself. Too lazy to walk two blocks. When that tank starts just sending up vapors, vapors don't crank no car. And we will allow the things of the world to get our focus off of what God can do for us. If we say that we are believers, then we got to believe that God is still going to make a way. This is not the first time that the gas has went up. This is not the last time that gas is going to go up. You know that it is just like those domino effect. Once the gas go up, the food go up. Because they say you got to take more gas for the truck to run the food. So you just got a domino effect, but you still got to stay in the midst. You got a choice. You can give up on life and die, or you can make the best of your life and stop wasting precious time. You got to learn how to watch the signs. The Bible says that Jesus, as he was on the Mount of Olives, that he began to teach the people of God. Jesus said unto them, seeing thou these great buildings, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. In other words, the Lord is getting them ready, letting them know what's going to happen in the future. The Bible said, Jesus said unto them, take heed lest any man deceive you. Now, if you think that this is just me talking, open that Bible you brought. The 13th chapter of Mark says, For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. The end shall not be yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There should be earthquakes in diverse places. There should be famines and troubles, and this will only be the beginning of our sorrows. Are you watching the signs? If you're watching, I wonder, do you see what's going on? We hear about the wars that are going on. Every other day it seems like somewhere or another there's been another earthquake. If this is not signs of the time, then you better ask somebody what's going on. I stopped by to let somebody know this morning that we are living in what we call the last days. And I don't know when the last day is going to be. But I do know if you don't have your house in order, if you don't have your life lined up where God wants it to be, then hell is going to be your home. But I stopped by to tell somebody this morning that you need to take heed to yourself and believe that God has all power. Even though we see the signs of the time, God had the power to change everything that comes along in our life. I don't know when God is going to come, but the Bible declared that we got to be watching and waiting. We got to be praying that we be ready when the Lord God comes. The Bible said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, nobody but the Father. You can talk about you a prophet if you want to. You can say you know this or you know that. But don't nobody know the day when God is going to open up the sky. I thought about to tell somebody that you better get ready because Jesus is soon to come. You better know that God is going to be looking for somebody without a spot or a wrinkle. I wonder this morning, is there anybody in the house that are looking at the signs of the judgment? When I look at the sign, the Bible said that our love would go cold for one another. The Bible said that we won't be able to tell the seasons from the summer from the winter. The Bible said, as we look at the signs of time, mothers and fathers will fall out with one another. Children will go up against their parents. Brothers and sisters are going to fall out. But I thank God that God is the one still in control. I stop by to tell somebody that Jesus said, when you look at the fig tree and the leaves start to come on the tree, you know that it's almost summertime. That's what that you got to do. When you see the signs of the judgment, you better start getting ready. You better get your house in order. Know that God wants you to be ready. For you got to know that there comes a time that we got to work. Jesus said, work while it's day. For night cometh when no man can work. You better be ready to work for the Lord. Anybody in the house this morning? Do you know God as your personal Savior? Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you trusting God? I stop by to tell somebody that you don't have time to waste. Stop talking about everybody. Stop nitpicking. Stop being so thin-skinned. Stop looking out of the side of your eye. But look up to the heaven, knowing that that's where your strength comes from. Know that the Lord will make a way out of no way. You better stop that thing when you try to pull other folk apart. For the Bible declares, no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. If you don't like me now, look at me after a while, because I'm going higher. I'm going higher on with the Lord. Because I heard the Lord God say, if you believe in me, open up your mouth and I'll speak for you. If you walk with me, I'll carry you where you got to go. If stumbling blocks get in your way, I'll give you a wall to get over the stumbling block. If your enemy get in your way, make your enemy your footstool. I stopped by to tell somebody that the Lord our God is tired of us wasting his time. We always in a hurry, going nowhere. We got to slow down. And God says, be still. and know that I am God. God all by himself. And what God wants us to know this morning is that there's already been enough things, enough signs have already come that Jesus could come anytime. Think about it. For years, we've been hearing about the wars. And not only are wars overseas now, that war is on our own land. We haven't experienced an earthquake ourselves, but don't count it out. You get all comfortable. You get to where you don't believe that God's word is true. God can show you that I can do something that nobody else can do. I can come to Lexington, North Carolina. And if I shake this ground, you know, we don't have but a little ground in the first place. If he shake this ground and shake all of us up, is that what it's going to take for men and women, brothers and sisters of all nationalities to come together? Is it going to take God interceding and making it impossible for us to make it all by ourselves? You see, we get so comfortable in our own little zone. And because we don't understand that person's way or that person's way, we look out of critical eyes. But what God wants us to do is to just look out of eyes of love. Look with eyes of compassion. Look like Jesus looks at us. If when God looked at you, if he was to hold everything that you've done, if he hold that against you, I guarantee you it wouldn't be no shouting and it wouldn't be no running. And it'd be some crying, but wouldn't many of them be tears of joy? It'd be tears of despair, desperation, wanting God to step in. Don't wait until you hear the ground shaking and then start the running toward Jesus. What the Lord is saying is that now is our get ready time. Get ready for him now. Don't you see the signs? And all he says is, be watching and pray. Watch. We have been taught, and I hear the children sometimes when we get ready to pray, and the first thing that one of them will say is, grab hands and close your eyes. That's what we was taught. Now we're living in a time where sometimes even in the house of God, you can't close your eyes on everybody. It's real. We are living in a time where the things that we think that are funny, it's not funny anymore. Because I guarantee you, if they don't care, the enemy don't care where he or she is. When the devil take control of them, the devil just do whatever, anywhere. But thanks be to God that God has gotten through to most of us. And we got enough Jesus in us that at least we can treat others like we want to be treated.